This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Mother's Day is coming up on May 13th. Are you ready? Kimberly Harrington is.
What day is Mother's Day again? A Sunday? You mean a day everyone else has off anyway? Of course. Perfect. So let me see if I've got this straight. You're saying that me, a mother, will have the same hours of national recognition also afforded bobbleheads, lumpy rugs, personal trainer awareness, spaghetti, one-hit wonders, baked Alaska, hole in my bucket, cellophane tape, home warranties, something on a stick, spiral glazed ham, beer can appreciation, cabbage, cheese doodles, and earmuffs? Someone pinch me. Next, you'll tell me my personal reward for mentally keeping track of roughly 1,000 food dislikes, dentist appointments, classmate birthday parties, bike helmets, other mothers to avoid, weather-appropriate footwear, and snacks to bring to school for whatever the hell they're celebrating this week. We'll be forcing some kind of garbage smoothie and a charred heel of bread past my involuntarily pursed lips with a good.
That's an excerpt from Harrington's new book, Amateur Hour, Motherhood in Essays and Swear Words. Harrington lives in Vermont and works in advertising as a copywriter. She's also a contributor to McSweeney's, The New Yorker, and the website Raised. Her book came out on Tuesday, and over the weekend, two excerpts from it hit the most popular lists on both The New Yorker and The New York Times. But Harrington knows her sense of humor in essays like that one isn't for everyone.
It's one of those pieces that I think mothers enjoy, and then it makes dads nervous. And it makes some people a little grouchy because they think I'm really bitter about homemade cards, and I'm not. I think Mother's Day is lovely. I think Mother's Day should be extended beyond one day. I've written a few pieces kind of going at this angle. That was probably the first one where I see a lot of lip service around mothers and women. And I've actually done a little research on it. And it started off based in marketing, which I find very interesting because, of course, part of me thought like, oh, it must have started off as this really lovely thing. And it was tied to a department store. So
there you
maybe
go.
Maybe I need to just let this one go.
You know, what's interesting, you talk about being cynical, and that comes through in a lot of the satirical writing that you do that is fiction. And some of it is included in this. You call them timeouts, the little segments where you sort of depart from your own personal life and have these really funny asides. And often they're not about you and your children, but they spring from the mind of somebody who's been through parenthood. But in your other essays about your life, you're so not cynical, but so sweet and vulnerable and raw in a lot of it. And that's not the kind of writing that those of us who have followed your writing that appears in publications, we usually see.
It's been interesting having those things be friends in this book. That was a challenge from the beginning. You know, I knew those things needed to come together. I knew that was the type of writing I was doing. I was on these two very different tracks. And one thing that was interesting as the book first came together, the readers who took a look at it through the first pass, I think every single one of them to back up, the humor pieces were all integrated into the book, thoroughly integrated. So there were sections by theme and all the pieces were mixed together. And the unanimous feedback was, this is jarring. I would characterize that feedback as the reader feeling like they were continuously walking into the wrong bar. Huh. They would read a really emotional piece in my voice about my life, and then it would be this bonkers conceptual piece, clearly, hopefully, not based in my life. And so it was always a challenge because those pieces always needed to be in there. They were really important to me, for sure. And that's where the timeouts came from. We kind of had to isolate them. I think what I've discovered through this book is I'm just a person of extreme emotion, and I want you laughing or I want you crying. And apparently I have no other emotions.
So I found myself laughing and crying both, and not just in the humor pieces that were designed to make me laugh, but often in the pieces that are really emotional and personal. I laughed. I mean, I really seriously LOL'd at the essay you wrote about your husband and about trying to figure out how to be married and stay married. And you write about yourself and your craving for this sort of public attention that you can get on Facebook and through social media. But there's one moment where you're describing your husband and you said he's never craved this. He's not a social media guy. And in fact, he wrote back that's not nice when you first texted him the thumbs up emoji because he thought you were saying up yours. And I literally laughed out loud at that.
That is complete nonfiction.
I also found that as a parent of a one-year-old, one-and-a-half-year-old, and a four-year-old, the parts that were making me cry were more this acknowledgement that you were giving in the book that parenting is really effing hard and being a mom is really hard. And there was a sort of a recognition of that that I think probably a lot of your readers will feel that, oh my God, thank you. Just somebody sort of acknowledging that this is, it's difficult, it's messy, it's ugly. You don't always like yourself. You love your kids, but sometimes you hate them at the same time. And all of that is wrapped in. But that makes you vulnerable to attack to write that stuff. I mean, you know the mommy wars.
You know, the internet. That was sort of a constant balance for me. I feel comfortable with everything that's in here. I had to. There were definitely some pieces that were taken out. I never wanted to feel that I was exposing my kids or taking advantage of intimate conversations. Having said that, I definitely had to shut down my panic spiral while writing it because I would sometimes feel like, is this the right thing to do? And it's, you know, what's the answer? No, I guess I'm not going to write a book. Like, I'm in the middle of writing a book. I have a book deal. I need to write this book, and I want to write it.
And you have a great thank you to your kids at the beginning.
All true.
Yeah, for Walker and Hawthorne.
They had to go away.
Thank you for going away so I could write about how much I love you.
That all last summer was what was happening. You know, I've really had time to examine it and really think about it. I think it would be a very different book if I wrote it when they were younger. And I think it would be a very different book if I wrote it 3 years from now. Mm-hmm. I find it really fascinating in terms of my changing relationship with them and also the idea of privacy when it comes to kids and just the stages they're at. We all know, I mean, we remember being in middle school and, oh my God, mom and dad, can you please not even ever speak for me? And that only gets, you know, more intense in high school. And then when kids are really little, you feel like you pretty much own them because you're just so fully in charge of them and you can write whatever you want. And so I feel fortunate, I think, that they were and are the ages that they are because I felt more protective but still open to talking about them.
And how old are they now? 11 and 13? Or
yeah.
One of the essays is writing about what we've just been talking about, these sort of misgivings you have about, you know, plastering your kids up on social media, which I'm guilty of too, and this idea that you sort of own them when they're young. And then as they get older and they start to feel their autonomy and start to understand that word privacy, that changes your relationship to them and then your relationship to your own social media. In a lot of ways, this book is really a love letter to them, but you're still exposing them in some ways in a vulnerable and intimate way. And you mention in the acknowledgments that you're thankful to your husband who never made you change a single word. And I'm wondering if you gave veto power to your kids, if they read
nope.
the essays about them and you let them say
nope. No, I sure did not. I felt it was obviously it was important for my husband to read it through, and I sort of used him as a gauge, almost like a proxy to read it through as their father. Did, you know, would he feel uncomfortable with anything? I knew he would let other stuff just go. He's not critical in that way. And he would, you know, he's really easygoing. The part about them reading things is tough because I felt like it was a real pickle for me. Because I felt if they were going to read things, of course, they were going to say they didn't want me to use it.
Right.
And ain't nobody got time for that when you're writing a book in 7 weeks. So it was and is a gamble. Mm-hmm. I think that's what made me feel more like I had to be the editor of what I put in there and feel like I could back everything that was in there and explain to them why I included things. One of my friends, Amanda, had a great idea because I was telling her I was really struggling. My daughter has wanted to read this book since the minute she knew it existed. And my son was like, whatever. He's, you know, he's good. He's all set. And so she had an idea because there's some things I don't want them ever reading ever in their entire lives that are more personal to me and or that they can't unsee once they've read them.
Like what? You talk about your sex life.
Yes, that would be it. She had a great idea of taking an X-Acto knife and cutting pieces out of the book and giving a piece to my daughter over time, you know, sort of when I think she's ready for whatever. I've also tried to explain to her that it's like old person humor, that, you know, it sounds really tantalizing when you're not allowed to read something, but that the vast majority of the stuff in here, certainly from a humor standpoint, is just...
It's like middle-aged lady humor.
Oh, it's old lady humor, and it's parenthood, and it's marriage, and it's just stuff that is not going to have her bring it to middle school and being like, hey, guys, guess what my mom wrote? It's amazing.
But you write to them, so I imagine yes. that you're thinking about them. As your audience, yeah. even as you're writing. I mean, you write directly to them in some of these essays.
Yeah, and... for sure. I really do feel like it's a love letter to them in many ways. I think that any writer on some level wants to do something permanent that's going to outlast them. And it's much easier, again, I think for a lot of writers to write down how they feel. It's very hard to just look at someone face to face and just say the same kind of things you would say versus writing them. And that's certainly the case. In this book, you know, we have really good relationships and we talk a lot, but it's all, I mean, we know what family life is like. I mean, it's a circus. So I do think that it was my space to really be able to have these really loving conversations with them almost, even if right now those conversations are extremely one way. but I hope they'll appreciate those at some point.
So I have one other question to ask you, and it's slightly embarrassing because I think I know the answer. But as I was reading your book and, you know, was doing my due diligence and looking over everything, I looked at the back and I thought, oh, this is really clever. There's a really subtle coffee stain on the book. And it's great because, you know, being a mother is crazy and you can't even keep track of things and you spill everything. But then I realized, actually, that's probably not a design. That probably really is me. So is it a design of
no.
the back cover? Great. Okay.
But it's very consistent with the book.
Well, I would highly recommend in your next book. The subtle coffee stain is the way to go to make your readers feel
I try
crazy.
To have an overall emotional coffee stain over everything I write. So
good. Well,
we'll just try to mirror that with the cover.
Well, Kimberly Harrington, congratulations on the book and thank you very much for talking with us about it.
Thank you so much.
Her new book is called Amateur Hour, Motherhood in Essays and Swear Words.